I'll tell you what, this is way too loud. That much I know. Those guys in the youth band, are they incredible or what, man? I'm so stoked with that. I think back of where I was at 18 and 17, and I could get teary-eyed thinking about this, how cool this is to see these guys worshiping the Lord like this. All right. As you know, we're doing some things a little differently. We're not doing our normal expository Bible study like we've been used to doing, and we will get back to that. But today, as we've been going through Eastgate Origins, we've been tracing the development of this fellowship, how we got here, what we're doing here, how did we get here, what are we doing here? And so I gave you my story, I gave you the Eastgate story, how that all came about. We kind of last week quickly went over some of the aspects of how we function as a fellowship, you know, who's in charge of this thing and how that all works. And we kind of gave you an overview of how that worked. But this morning, what I want to do is have the guys that have been involved in this and in leadership come up here. And I want them to be able to kind of interact a little bit with you. So can I get the board guys, the elders, the pastors, whatever you people are, if you guys want to come on up here. And we're going to be missing one person. Mike Brown is suffering with that crud that's been going around everywhere. So he wasn't able to make it today, but his wife Darby's going to be coming on up. And these are the people that are involved in leadership here within this fellowship. Yeah, you can sit right here, Darby. Darby and I are here without our spouses. So we're over to the side. But these are the people, these are the guys that we talked about. This is, you know, and I'm sorry, I end up kind of almost with my back to you guys. I apologize. That's what you get for sitting in the drum fan section. We call it the drum fan section because, well, for obvious reasons. But these are the people that have been involved in leadership here at Eastgate, some of them for a long time, some of them from very early on in the development of this community. Now, you have never seen a more frightened group of people than these people right here this morning. You can't believe it. It's like, I feel like it's a grade school play. These kids, these guys are just like, I don't know what to do, and I don't know what to say. Some of them got cheat sheets, believe it or not. So, but these are the, as we explained to you, the way we do this here is that we've been praying about it. We prayed about it. We looked at the model that we saw in the book of Acts, where elders and those who were involved in leadership within the community were prayed about. You know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit put on the hearts of those who were involved in it who it was that was to be functioning this way. And that's kind of the model that we followed. We prayed about it. It started with me praying about it, asking the Lord who should be in on this with me. And so from there, with two of us, we prayed about it. And with three of us, we prayed about it. And it's just built from that perspective, from that direction. Now, this is not to say that these are the only leaders or pastors. These are the ones who are involved in the dynamic of some of the heavier decision making within the community at large. But we do have other pastors involved in this. You hear Dustin all the time. He's the one who does the announcements. He's involved in youth pastoring. Jessica, will you stand up, please? Just quickly, you'll be all right. This is my daughter Jessica Woodrum. She's involved in youth leadership. Dale and Karen, will you stand up, please? Dale and Karen are involved in benevolence ministry here at the church. They do a magnificent job in caring for the needs here that as they arise. So I want you to be aware of who's involved here. Steve Connor back at the soundboard. Steve, stand up and kind of wave to everybody. Steve's been involved with the sound ministry and helped with a lot of different areas in coming to decisions on things. But I want you to know who these guys are because it came to my attention one time. Somebody said, and we've got this information on the web. How many people go to the website just out of curiosity? Not many. How many people know we got a website? Okay, that's the majority, but not everybody here. So we do have a website, I don't need to say that, but it's eastgatefellowship.net. Eastgatefellowship.net, it's written on your bulletin. We try to write it almost everywhere, come to think of it. But
it's written on your forehead.
Just about, yeah. So on that website, we have a lot of different information that you can access. But these guys are listed there, but it came to my attention. Somebody said to me, you know, do we have a board or anything like that? And I thought, boy, you know, we need to know. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. And so what I want to do this morning, and I know you're probably sitting there thinking, I don't want to, you know, but I want you to realize that there are personalities behind the leadership here and that we're all in this together. We are the ones who labor among the community at large. And you know, you look at these guys, and I'll tell you, they put in so much time and they put in so much work, and the only thing that they are the only reason that they're here doing this or involved in this is because they love this community. I mean, that's the driving force behind all of it. Unfortunately, they don't get, you know, any kind of perks, no parking passes, or they get free coffee. But beyond that, you know, they're here because they love to be here. So I'm speaking for them now. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of go along here and talk to some of them. I'm going to start with Riley, if I could, and you could just grab that microphone there. Riley and Lynn, this is his wife, Lynn. And he can kind of give you a little bit about himself and his involvement. Tell us what you can tell. I mean, you know what? The Bible says this. These guys are never going to get to talk because I got a microphone and I just got a little... The Bible says that, you know, friends are there for you when you need them. This is a paraphrase. Friends are
there. I'm going to start crying.
You're going to pull a Riley. The Bible says that, you know, friends are there, you know, for different events or whatever, but a brother is born for trouble. And so... Riley can kind of tell you that, you know, he's here by default. But go ahead and explain.
Explain. I'm going to explain everything now. Well, if you were here listening to Rob's testimony, you kind of got some of my story in there, too. And it's true. You know, we're kind of joined at the hip, so to speak, for the last 10 years or more than that. But I'm not supposed to give my life story, right?
Oh,
I was born.
Just something short and sweet, like, hey, I'm glad to be here, and
yeah.
Why am I here? Why are you here, Riley?
We're here because, like Rob explained in his testimony about the history of Eastgate, we moved down here, Rob and I have a very close relationship, and you know, out of that home group that got started, here we are. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
All right, well, your wife, Lynn, who happens to be my sister-in-law, it's interesting how these things work out. Your wife, Lynn, is in charge of something here. Could she kind of talk about what that's all about?
I try to coordinate the Sunday school rooms and the Sunday school teachers, and we work a lot with the children. And if you don't see me out here and you don't recognize me, it's because I'm back in those rooms most of the time, before and after the service. So if you need to find me, go back there, and you have a good chance of seeing me back there. But we've worked with the kids for a long time. I love it. I think we have some of the best parents here because we've got some of the best kids back there. So you've raised some great kids. And
do you feel buttered up yet?
Really,
now we're going to pass a plate.
It's a lot of fun.
Go ahead. Keep talking.
No.
I'm done.
Oh, she's done. She does a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to mention real quick that, you know, we can think in terms of, yeah, you know, working on kind of Sunday school or whatever, and that, yeah, but that's nice and everything. You just can't even believe what a monumental task that is. And to have the lion's share of that falling on the shoulders of one person like that is incredible to me. And I'm very appreciative of that. You know, when we first started in the little dress shop, we had this little cubbyhole where we kind of jammed the kids in there and, you know, locked the door until we were done. For her to begin to take this on and take on a responsibility like this has just been outstanding. And I know she appreciates everybody who is involved in that and stuff. So,
I was just going to add, you're talking, most of you know that I lead the worship here. I mean, that's my main job. But I thought I made her mention, you talked about offerings. That's one of my other responsibilities, is I handle paying the bills, and basically I'm the treasurer, basically designated. So you better.
If we see his car upgrade.
I just thought that just for, you know, informational purposes, know what else, you know, I might do around here.
We know who to blame, is that, in other words. So yeah. That's always
lights
good to
go
know.
Lights go out unexpectedly one day. Like, oh, Riley forgot to pay the electric bill.
All right. Well, very good. And I'll tell you, these guys, you know, their stories obviously linked to mine, so it's almost, you know, you've heard my story when it comes to how Eastgate started. You've heard theirs. But go ahead. You've got more to say, obviously.
Yeah, I've got more to say. Well, you get this talk all the time. I want to say, we've got children, too. I want Becky, will you stand up, please? And April, are you here in the room? I bet she's in the back with the youth band.
But you would know April because she was singing
this
morning.
She was the young lady singing. So Becky and April, and then I have Connor, who's the little guy. We got a late one.
He lives here.
And he's back in the kids' meeting. So I have three children, too. So
very good. Yeah, let's give Riley and Lynn a round of applause. Very appreciative.
Oh, yeah, and I...
Oh, no, no. Would you hand this microphone over to Darby real quick for me? And she's been nervous. I'm going to get this over with. But Darby and Mike are just very precious people. They have been here possibly the longest. Were you guys here? They were here before you, okay, in terms of being involved in leadership and all. And, of course, Mike, you'd know him because he works back there at the soundboard most of the time. He's a real tiny little guy, and so it's hard to. I'm just kidding. He's a strong man, and I'll tell you, in all honesty, he's one of the most confident individuals I know. And there are so many times that I find myself leaning on his confidence and his knowledge of the Word and his love for the Lord is just outstanding and such a blessing to me. But he's been involved in the sound. One thing I want to just mention real quick, and of course you're thinking, I thought Darby was going to talk, but is that when we talk about people being in leadership, you know, and I'm referring to, we've kind of leveled the ground on all of this stuff. So we are pastors, we are leaders among the fellowship here. And I did mention at one point, like, you know, certain people oversee certain things, and I don't want to leave the impression as though they only deal with those specific things, like, you know, one person looks over the sound or whatever. And that is true. We do kind of try to divide up overseeing different aspects of this community. But when it comes to making decisions, I mean, we all function on an equal level, and we all have the same kind of input in dealing with things. But tell us, how long have you been coming to Eastgate? Do you know?
We've been here almost 10 years now.
About 10 years, okay. Do you remember what your first encounter with us was?
It was not with Eastgate. It was with Javaluya, which y'all may not know. That was the coffee house that was associated with Eastgate when we were at the Promenade Mall, and we had heard commercials on Christian radio about advertising the coffee house Javaluya, and we had just left our church that we had been at for 17 years, and been at a different church every week, trying to find a new place to be. And so we came to Javaluya, and I went up to the coffee counter and asked the young lady there if there was a church associated. The young lady happened to be his wife, Robbie. And she says, I looked like the meanest person that night. I was so strong and scared. Like, I think I was scared, because when you don't know where God wants you, you don't know
what you're getting into.
But anyway, she said, yeah, we have a church associated with this. And I said, well, can you tell me where it's located? And she said, right here, this is where we meet. Well, y'all might think this is a little bit strange with surfboards and stuff, but it was even a little bit more strange over there. And we had come out of, we had never been in a church that wasn't real churchy-like. So anyway, we visited church that Sunday, and every week when we had visited all these churches, we would come out and look at each other every Sunday and say, no, this wasn't it. And we would try another one. But that Sunday when we came out, we looked at each other and said, oh, this might be the place. And we came back the next Sunday, and we came back and said, yep, this is the place. And never looked back.
And I'll tell you, they've been such a huge help to us. And there were times, like when it came time to make the decision to leave the Promenade Mall, I always remember Darby. Because in all honesty, you know, what she's describing there is accurate. I mean, you know, she's so sweet and so kind. I mean, you don't know anybody as sweet and kind as this dear lady, and yet she scared me to death. You know, I didn't know what was up with that. But you know, you have to get to know each other. That's one of the things. You know, we start making assumptions about each other based on certain things that we may perceive, and a lot of times our perceptions are completely wrong. And so it takes that time to get to know one another. And I'll tell you, it was Darby. I was sitting in there one day, and I was arguing with everybody, saying we shouldn't have to leave this place. You know, this is just fine. We were you know, busting out the walls. It was terrible. We were running out of room. And I kept saying, you know, there's no way. We'll never need, you know, as much room as a bigger thing like that. We should just stay in a nice small little thing. And it was Darby who finally piped up. And, you know, you rarely hear her say anything. And she finally said, you know, Rob, you've been saying that since I've known you. And at some point, you're going to have to wake up and realize that this is going to grow, whether you like it or not. And it was just the right kind of wisdom that I needed at that point. And
it was growing already.
But anyway, shut up now. I'm kidding. But it was cool, and it was cool. It's cool how the Lord has brought the different personalities together to help. And Darby works back. What do you do, Darby? Here, like every Sunday when I see you, what are you doing?
Well, I come in on Sunday mornings and open up the coffee bar to start brewing coffee after coffee after coffee, so y'all have some when you come here to drink.
Check this out. What's your favorite coffee that you like to drink?
I don't drink coffee. I've tried.
Think about that for a minute. Think about that. That's very cool. We appreciate it a lot. We'd all be sleeping otherwise. So it's very good. Well, we appreciate you, Darby. Thank you so much. And we are trusting that Mike's going to get better real quick here. You want to pass that microphone? Well, actually, you can put that one down. Lance and Liz, will you grab that microphone? And Lance and Liz have been here almost as long as Darby and Mike have been here. They kind of wandered in. Lance, kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came in contact with Eastgate, what your background is a little bit. He's one of the most nervous ones here, by the way, so heckle him.
I tried to get behind the comms, and he wouldn't.
That's right. You just got, what was that? What happened? You got an award or something, didn't you?
I forget. Well, this is my wife, Liz. We have three children, Rachel, standing up. Stand up for a second. She's involved in the youth group. We have a daughter, Eileen, who's in California, and Jason, who also grew up here in the youth group, and he's now on the Coast Guard, stationed in Mobile and living with his wife, Jamie, who also came to Eastgate. How we got here, I was a cop in L.A. for about 21 years, and when I retired, we decided to get out of Dodge. It was just getting too crowded and too crazy in L.A., so Liz retired early from the hospital, and we took off and moved to Applegate, Oregon. Population about 500, unless it was on a Sunday, and it turned up to about 6,000 because of the church. It was Applegate Christian Fellowship, so we had a background in Calvary churches, and a job offer came up, and the winters were a little treacherous, so we decided to move here. I had a job offer. I never heard of this place. When we got here, we couldn't find a church at all. It's like being in the desert. And I called my brother, who's a Calvary pastor in California, and talked to him, and he referred me to Coy, who's a Calvary pastor in South Florida. And he told me you can't go. There's no Calvary churches being planted in this area. So he said you can always go to a Baptist church. He said you get good Bible teaching, but you'll have to wear a suit. That was out of question. So. We looked in the phone book, and I ended up calling Rob at home. I saw the little ad in the yellow pages, and he sounded cool, sounded like a surfer dude. So he invited us to Eastgate, and when we walked in that promenade mall, if I wouldn't have seen a couple of surfboards, I'd have backed out and left. It was a little bit different. But when Riley started playing in worship, and we listened to Rob, the rest is history. We've been here for 10 years now. We love this church. God's got some good plans for this community, and I hope everybody hangs around for the ride.
Right on. Now, you, what do you kind of deal with you're Lance oversees a specific aspect, and we've always been terming it as security around here. You know, the cop background kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Explain what that means, because some people ask questions about it, you know, security, what's all that about? So what's that mean, Lance?
Well, our main concern is the safety of the children. When we first started in Promenade Mall, we used to have to march the kids from the main building all the way down the mall to another little building. And they thought I was a little psycho. I had the teachers lock the room, and I gave them walkie-talkies to contact me. But we just wanted to make sure the kids are safe. And same thing here. We're in a mall setting. kids are separate from the main church, and so we monitor the coffee shop in case of walk-ins here. We just want to make sure the parents can listen to a service and not worry about their children. There's actually four of us that, that do security here. Gary Watley, is he in here, Gary?
Yeah, he's back.
Gary, want to stand up for a minute, so people, we'll be wearing these name tags, and if you have any questions. Dan Prout, Dennis Gallagher, and myself, and we're out there during the service and hanging around in case anybody needs anything. And that, that's the only reason we're here, to make sure everybody stays safe.
Right on. Very good. Now, what does your wife do around here?
Let her tell you. Well, she works in the office. She's the church secretary here. I don't know if she wants to say anything.
Hi. Anybody who calls the office knows that they got to go through Liz. So that's just, you know, so we talk about who the real pastor is around here. Okay, well, we appreciate everything that you guys do and the involvement that you've had here. Again, you know, these are people that just labor all the time for the good of the community, and it's been wonderful. If I can get you to pass that mic, and Dan, will you put it in the stand just for a minute now, because it's kind of bumping around a little bit. Riley, will you grab this mic and pass it over to Ron. Ron, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to Eastgate. Introduce your wife for us, if you will.
My name's Ron Cravato. This is my wife, Kathy. I guess we've been coming to Eastgate for just about 3 years now. Sometime in a few months, I think it'll be close to 3 years. I'm one of the newer members on the board. I think I've only been on the board for about 14 or 15 months, but it's been a lot of fun and quite an interesting experience. We were members of a church here in town for 14 years, and we felt that it was becoming quite legalistic and quite works-based, and it was we just didn't feel that was our place anymore. So there's something started happening inside of us where we realized that there had to be more than what we were experiencing in our relationship with Jesus. And that's kind of when our journey began, and the Lord ended up bringing us here. And that's kind of how we've come about a little bit here. Actually, we had saw a article in the newspaper where they had interviewed Rob and talked about Eastgate and what it was all about, and it kind of resonated with me when I read it, and I thought, well, let's go check that out, and that's what we did, and ever since we've checked it out, we've been here.
It's kind of like Hotel California, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's we try to leave, but I can't.
Did you introduce your wife? Or?
I did. This is Kathy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
We have two boys too. Our oldest son, Keel, he's 20. He's away at school at University of Central Florida. And our youngest son, Catlin, he was the one who was playing drums earlier this morning. So these are our two kids.
Now, you've been kind of, we're aiming towards something, and you're going to be kind of overseeing a different aspect of something. You want to tell us about that? Or
what was I aiming at?
Well,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Gotcha. You know?
So you weren't the only one sleeping.
When originally became part of the board, we were in transitioning with the youth a bit, you know, when Brian was leaving and before we had Dusty. So Kathy and I kind of worked with that ministry for a little bit, you know, just kind of coordinated activities, make sure that things were still going on with the youth. And then as the Lord raised Dustin up, you know, he's been taking over since. And now we're kind of in a new phase of what we're working on here with the board. One of the biggest things that we've really felt the leading from the Lord over the past several months, and it was bore out by the questionnaires that we got, was the need for small groups inside of Eastgate. A lot of people have a desire for more relationship, more time together, more small groups, get to know one another. And along with Dan and Patty, that's the new area that we're starting to work in and to investigate and going to be jumping into.
Very cool. Very good. Does Kathy want to say anything?
Hi.
All right, very good.
Her and Liz agreed they weren't talking.
I've never seen such chickens in my whole life. Dan, you want to grab that microphone in front of you and introduce yourself and your wife and kind of tell us how you got here, if you've figured it out yet.
I'm Dan Crute. This is my wife, Patty. We have two boys, Josh and Jeremy. Josh is a freshman at Gulf Coast, and sleeping in this morning. He'll be here for the second service.
Dan, can you put that microphone a little closer to your mouth? I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, because it's going to start feeding back otherwise.
And then Jeremy is a sophomore at Arnold, and he'll be here also for the second service. We moved to Panama City about 10 or 11 years ago. We had been in Maryland and part of a church there for a long time. Had been married in that church, had our kids in that church, had deep relationships there. It was a charismatic, non-denominational church. Moved here to Panama City and visited lots of churches over a period of a number of years. We just had difficulty finding a church where we really felt that we fit. We had groups in our home for a while. In fact, Danny and Dee Deaton were in a group that was meeting in our home for a little while. And then we had actually visited this church when it was just barely getting started, 11 years ago, and had just continued looking around. And then finally 4 years ago, we came here again to visit and have been here since and have enjoyed being part of the church.
Now
The other thing that you and Patty kind of oversee is missions. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Or,
well, to start, I met the Lord at the age of 20 as a wandering hitchhiker out in the far northwest corner of Washington State. And from fairly early on in my walk with the Lord, it just had a great interest in what God was doing throughout the world, and especially in the places where it was more difficult for the gospel to be spread, and particularly in communist countries and Muslim countries. And so over a period of time, I ended up getting involved in short-term missions and going on short-term teams and leading short-term teams, and went to places like China and Vietnam and Uzbekistan, Romania. Patty went with me to Vietnam on one trip. And to several Indian reservations in the United States, and have just continued to have that kind of interest. Now, in the summer of 2001, I was on my way with a team to northwestern India and collapsed on the plane and had to come home. And so I haven't done anything like that since. I've been much less active, but still praying and giving toward those kinds of things. So Rob had asked me to just have some kind of responsibility or oversight over what we're doing in terms of supporting what God is doing throughout the world. And I am very grateful for the initiative and the activity that's come just from individuals within the church who have already been very active in that. What Melissa Sues has been doing every month, talking about the persecuted church, Stephanie Lipman taking teams and trips to Eastern Europe. Ray Wilcox just came back from the Ukraine where he was working with orphans. It was the team that went to Haiti a couple of years ago with Rob. Dustin is planning to take the youth to Louisiana or Mississippi to help with those who are devastated by Katrina. So there's a lot just that God is doing and stirring people's hearts to do that.
Right on.
And those are ways that we can give out of what's been given to us.
Very good. Excellent. Well, we appreciate what you're doing along those lines. And, you know, and this is, as we've talked about before, this is a work in progress. So we're, you know, this is unfolding as we go. We've mentioned before, this isn't something that we had all planned out and we knew exactly how we were going to approach these things. We're examining it as we go, and we're seeking the Lord's wisdom as the opportunities arise, and we're trusting that the Lord's guiding us in the process of the whole thing. Hello? No sweat. Last week, you got anybody here last week? Was it second service or what? I was hearing a phone going off and I was thinking, oh man, what's going on? And then it dawned on me. It was in my pocket. And I was like, oh, busted. So it happens. You know, sometimes you just forget to turn those things off. Well, tell you what, we just really appreciate everything that these guys do and all that they and all that they and all that they provide to the community. It's just really wonderful to, you know, I have never had experience with, you know, boards or anything like that. I mean, I just have no experience, you know, and to get all these different personalities, and it is a lot of different, it's a wide range of personalities. You've got, you know, well, you got somebody like Dan, who's just a total class clown. I mean, cuts up constantly and just, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Dan is a man of few words, but his words are always very wise, and it's great. You know, we got, so, you know, you got an engineer perspective. You got me out here in La La Land trying to think, you know, maybe we could just, you know, wing it. And so it's really wonderful, though, to see how all these personalities are able to come together and discuss and dialogue and pray together. And there's always a lot of laughter and a lot of and a lot of self-effacing realizations along the way. I mean, the whole goal is not to do anything but see how we can best serve this community in whatever ways are possible. And that's our prayer every time we meet. Lord, lead us and guide us so that we can serve the best way possible, so that we can make the best choices possible for the community at large. It's a place, and it's a group of people, and I've never seen anything like it, but it's just awesome. We check our egos at the door. There's no, at this point, there has been no power plays, no interest in trying to promote any individual agenda. It's all been about trying to serve this community as best we can. And our prayer is, and our hope is, and this is what we all need to pray together, is that that continues on, that we keep this same kind of simplicity and genuine love for one another and continue moving on that way. But I wanted you guys to be aware. I wanted everybody to be aware of who's involved in these things and see who's involved, and also hear a voice and attach a personality to that, because that's how we get to know each other along the way. Now, there's a couple things that, you know, I had everybody fill out these surveys, and one of the things that came up over and over and over again on the surveys, in fact, I would say an overwhelming majority, most of us here are recognizing that we need some kind of means by which we're going to interact with each other on more than just a weekly level, just more than just a Sunday morning when we get together and, you know, hey, how's it going? And then we split off and go our own separate ways. So we are well aware of that. We've been aware of that for a while. We've been, you know, it's kind of cool that it was dropped into our hearts. The Holy Spirit seemed to be leading us that we need to kind of start exploring how we as a community are going to approach this. And here, when we get the surveys back, I mean, that's the overwhelming thought that comes up, that we need something along these lines. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be developing a master list of small group leaders. My mind blanked out there just for a minute because I have a sign-up sheet and I don't remember where I put it. With my wife gone, I don't know what's going on. Is there a sign-up sheet back there at the soundboard? Did I leave anything, a clipboard up there by any chance? Is there one over there, Don? Did I put it out there? Where, oh, where did I put it?
So much for small groups.
Well, we had our shot and it's all over now. I'm going to find that sign-up sheet, and if we can't, if it's, I don't know what I did with it. I remember putting it down on the pool table, and I don't remember anything after that. So you might leave. How cool is this? I'm Rob, by the way. What is it?
Donnie.
Thank you, Donnie. Did I give it to you or something, or what? Oh, it was right there. Oh, okay. Donnie to the rescue. I'm going to put this back at the info counter here. And what this is what we're looking for is people who are interested in leading. This is where we're starting. This is the premise that we're starting at. We're interested in people who would be interested in leading a home group, a small group of some kind. And so what we're going to start with that premise. If you feel like the Lord would be leading you along those ways, there was a lot of people that were talking on these surveys that we need something along those lines. Maybe the Lord is dropping that in your heart to want to do that. Now, here I have a few stipulations. You need to have been at Eastgate for at least 6 months. You know, that's the best way for us to get to know each other, is to spend the time with each other. So we want to encourage that. We want you to be here for a while. Make sure that this is really a community that you feel a part of and you belong to. But also, I need you to have been a Christian for at least a year. And that's not because I'm trying to, you know, put anybody down or anything like that, but I just want to make sure that we know what we're doing here and we can get to know each other that way. So But if you've got something on your heart, if you've got an idea for a small group, it can be a Bible study. It may not be a Bible study. We're not going to bog down on that. It might be something, just a time of fellowship. I look at the bike ride thing that is going on as a small group means by which people are getting together and fellowshipping. The same with the ballroom dancing that was done for Valentine's. Some of these guys are talking about continuing that on. But it's a means of getting together to fellowship, to get to know each other, and to develop those kind of relationships. Bible study is a great way to go. It provides a good focal point, but it may not be the only way to go. So pray about that. Think about those things. I'm going to put this list out here. I want you to leave a phone number, but I definitely want you to leave an email address, because what we're going to do then is we're going to contact those who are interested in taking up a position of leadership among the community here, and we're going to have a meeting with you and kind of go from there and see what develops from there. So just so you know, Things are in the works. We're looking for the best way to do this. The last thing in the world I want to do is get up here and say, okay, we're going to start a new program, and it's going to be home groups and blah, blah, blah. I would much rather see some things develop organically. Amazingly enough, this is stuff that's going on already. I've left that up there the whole time. You know, these are a lot of different meetings that are taking place. I mean, on a regular basis, ways in which you can plug in. There's a prayer meeting that happens here on Saturday nights at 7:30. I believe it's at 7:30. There's men's groups, there's women's groups. There are some home Bible studies that are already taking place. And so I really do encourage you. You know, sometimes we can look at it and think, well, there's nothing going on, and I have no way of getting plugged in. And all we see, we've got a kind of a myopic view of what's happening here, and all we see is this meeting here. And so we're working on trying to make sure that the information is available to everybody, that what's happening, and then we're looking to expand that, see how else we can start getting together into groups and loving each other and caring for each other and supporting each other. Does that sound like a good idea, or is that cool? All right, very good. Well then, yay! Then the other thing that I want to do is I kind of want to go over a couple. There was really just a couple questions. I was surprised, you know, on the surveys, not many people had a lot of questions for us. We've just got a couple. One of them here that I want to mention is it says, what's with the candles? It's so Catholic. These are Protestant candles. I'm telling you right now. What's with the candles? Honestly, I don't know. It's kind of ambience. It's kind of cozy. I never thought in terms of it being having necessarily a religious connotation. So if you're worried that it's Catholicism, these are actually even unscented candles. So I think that would even take us a little farther away. But the idea is just to kind of create a cozy, warm kind of an environment. You know, that's why we, during the worship, we even take the lights down just a little bit, just to kind of get us in this mode where we're just in the presence of the Lord. It's not real bright around here. We're just going to try to cozy up to Jesus and cozy up to each other and promote that kind of an atmosphere. Atmosphere is atmosphere. That's not going to happen just because of atmosphere. It's got to be in our hearts to want to do it. But it doesn't hurt to help provide an atmosphere, I think. If you don't dig it, I understand. And, you know, it's one of those things. Obviously, we're not going to make everybody happy as we do some of these things. Some other questions came up, and I don't have them here in front of me, but people have talked about how it's difficult to see the screen at times. Unfortunately, we've got limitations here as far as how high these ceilings go. And part of the reason that we struggle and fight with the sound like we do and is just because we got low ceilings in this building. It's really not designed to have a church meet in, which is kind of cool to me. So I'm sorry, there's really not a lot we're going to be able to do about the screen situation. You know, just kind of maybe tap the person in front of you and tell them, hey, I really love you, and push them to the side and just try to be able to see the screen a little better that way. The other question that came up, it's asking, what about the do-it-yourself communion mirror in the corner? Please explain the way that works and you know, how that honors the Lord. Here's the deal on the do-it-yourself thing. It's not really a do-it-yourself thing. The idea is, like, tonight we're going to have our Burning House celebration. But I realize, and I'm realistic, and I know that everybody's not going to be able to make it to that. But we want the availability to be there, to be able to take the elements and remember who Jesus is still within the context of this community meeting. So, you know, a person could do that at home, I suppose, but there's something about maybe coming off a time when we've worshiped the Lord that we just want to go over and take that. We only do that one day a month, on the last day of the month, we'll put the elements. Are they out there now? I don't even know. You see anything there? Yeah, so at the end of the service today, after the worship, if you want to go up and take the bread and the cup, we invite you to do that. You're still in the context of the community worship, and it still helps relate to the idea that we're part of the body of Christ and that it's through his sacrifice that we are a part of this. The mirror thing, okay, this was a piece of artwork I did for a show that was done a while back, and I had an explanation on it, but the thing got broken, and when I put it back together, I didn't find the explanation. But the mirror on there, the whole concept behind that piece of art is that the mirror is placed right at the area where it would be centrical, the idea that it's in the heart of the thing. And as you go up and you take that, if you were to look in that mirror, you have to realize then that you, that reflection that's there, you are in the very heart of Jesus, that when he died on the cross, it was for you. Each one of us specifically, each one of us individually, he died for us. And so that not only did he have us in his heart when he died, but also then I become a part of who he is. My reflection then becomes a part of that art. My reflection when I'm looking in it and your reflection, as we look in that, we become a part of who Christ is. And of course, that's what the communion is all about. We're partaking of the divine nature by taking in the symbols of his body and his blood. So that's kind of what that's all about. If it freaks you out, no sweat. It's just kind of a point of view and a piece of artwork that way. But those were the questions that came up. It wasn't. You guys seem to be pretty well adjusted here, and that's very cool. And I'm glad about that. Now I got one more thing that I want to do before we have the band come out and we split up for the day. I want everybody, if you will, to stand up for just a moment, please. Little exercise here. You guys can stand up or sit down or whatever you want to do. You're done. You can even get off the stage if you want to. So I'm just kidding. But here's what I want you to do. How many have been here? I asked this before. How many have been here for 6 months or less? Okay, keep your hands up in the air. Keep your hands up in the air. Everybody look around for a minute. You who have been here longer, I want everybody to look around. 6 months or less. Everybody keep your hands up, please. All right, look around. All right, I would like everybody to go around and introduce themselves to somebody who's been here for 6 months or less. Just tell them, hey, I'm Rob, or who. Well, you don't have to say Rob. You can tell your name. Just do that for a minute. Let's introduce ourselves and get to know one another.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. We need to get this off here. Let's take it back that way. Yes.
Does your wife do anything around here? You haven't mentioned her at all.
You forgot to mention her.
Good. Let's do it again.
Okay. You mind?
No,
you mind?
Not at all. Right there. Right, directly behind you. No, no. There. Yeah.